Boker Tov. You know, the drama of Sefer Shmot is at a peak today. You know, the first drama was Yitziat Mitzrayim, was leaving Mitzrayim. And the second grand dramatic story is the building of the Mishkan. At the end of the fourth Aliyah, we have a dramatic pasuk. The Aliyah begins with something that we've been waiting for. Vayaviu et ha-Mishkan el Moshe. They brought all the items to Moshe. It's all ready. It's all been prepared. It's all been built. And Moshe comes along. Vayar Moshe et kol hamelacha. Moshe sees everything they did. Wow, they did it right. Everything is exactly fixed, the exact way we need it to be. Vayavarech otam Moshe. And Moshe gives them a bracha. I got to be honest with you. Look at this pasuk. It's the middle of two parshiot of building. You gotta kind of wonder, like, I don't understand. This is the first time Moshe is seeing the Mishkan. Like, what's so exciting over here? You know, the Abarbanel, who is known for his pshat, for understanding the psukim and really getting an insight into their literal meaning, he's like, I don't get it. Moshe's been doing this from A to Z from the beginning. So the Abarbanel says, I have to go to the extreme. He says, according to the Abarbanel, Moshe wasn't involved in the construction of the Mishkan. He designed it. He then gave over the plans to Bezalel and Eliav. And then at that point went back to court, went back to God, went back to doing Jewish leadership. And for months, didn't look at it, had no idea. Okay, it's kind of like wanting to imagine some of these home improvement shows where you sit with them, they take your house, you tell them what you want, and then a month later, 6 weeks later, you show up at the house. And wow, the big reveal. And of course, their faces are like, wow, I can't believe what you did. You actually did what we said you did. And the Barbanel was like, that must be what's going on, because otherwise, I don't understand the drama of the pasuk. It must be that Moshe wasn't involved. And now it's like, oh my God, you guys did it perfectly. Rabbeinu Bachai has a different explanation. Now, Rabbeinu Bachai comes at this through a medrash. I'd like to try to do is not do it through a medrash, but perhaps understand it through the pasuk, or a more literary understanding of the pasuk that I imagine the medrash also understood. You know, I want everyone to listen to the words, and I'm going to stress certain words, and tell me if it rings a bell. One of the things I hope here at Eretz Tzvi that we become sensitive to is reading psukim, reading them well, and knowing that sometimes psukim allude to other psukim, and are meant to like be, remind us of references, I would say cultural references, but I mean the cultural reference, meaning the Bible, the good book. And therefore, what does it sound like? Everyone listen carefully. Vayar Moshe et kol hamelacha, v'hine asu ota, vayavarech otam. That ring a bell? Bereshit. And if you look back at the end of the first week, meaning the week of creation, you're not going to believe how the end of the first parak. But it's not Moshe, obviously, but Vayar Elokim et kol asher asah. God saw everything that he did. It was great. And what coincidentally is next, which of course is never a coincidence, Vayivarech Elokim et yom hashvi v'kadesh oto. God saw, God said, wow, this is great, and now let's give it a bracha. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, creation wasn't complete until Revi of the Sukkot. When Moshe, who almost in a sense is acting the way God acted, looking back over it, saying this is exactly what it needs to be, and giving it a bracha, Moshe is not just mimicking God, but Moshe is basically, and the Torah is hinting to us, that this is the completion of the act of creation. The world wasn't complete without the Mishkan. And only once the Mishkan was built and was getting ready to be set, and God's home here in this world is there, only then is the world created, is the world complete, and is the act of creation, as God intended it, finally completed. Which means that so long as we don't have a Mishkan or a Mikdash, the world as designed is incomplete. When we look around the world and we say, wow, things are really rough, things are broken, things are not the way they're intended to be, remember that. Maybe because you're right, it's not. Because the Mikdash and the Mishkan haven't yet been built. And there are real ramifications in the world about an incomplete world.
You know what they are? Look around you.
Think about the Torah. There's 613 mitzvot. 200 plus of them are only related to the Mikdash. That's almost a third of the mitzvot that you guys can't do. That's almost a third of the mitzvot that we can't do for God. Now, there are six sedarim of Mishnah. Two of them, Taharot, Kodshim, don't apply. A third of Torah Shabbat.
When we look around as an incomplete world, it's possible we need to think about that the world is incomplete because there's not yet a Mikdash. And therefore, the question that I think the entire second half of Sefer Shemot is begging us to think about is saying, Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pikudeh, oh yeah, Vayikra, Tzav, etc. is where is the Mikdash? Why is it not here? And what are you doing about it? The Mikdash needs to be on our minds. Okay, in the news the past couple weeks, Ramadan is on everyone's minds. Temple Mount, and what are we going to do? What's the policies going to be? Who are we going to get let in? Who are we not? Is it going to be explosive, both literally and figuratively? Gentlemen, it's the wrong lens. Where is the Mikdash? Is the same issue of Parshat Shavuot. What are we doing? What are we thinking about it? For those that have never done Shnai and Mikra before, now's a perfect time. You're right, you missed the first half of Shemot. But get into the Mikdash experience and environment. If you don't learn about it, if you're not sensitive to it, you won't know what you're praying for because you won't know what you're missing. We are dearly, dearly missing it. And each one of us should ask ourselves, what are we going to do about it today?